All right. Now, this might seem a little ridiculous to you, but I'm fairly certain that we have something important to discuss. Clown girls. Yes, you heard me. That's correct. You know, the clissy, the clock, whatever you might happen to have. Regardless, I think it's important to indulge in silly things, including in the sensual regard. So, with that in mind, won't you join me as I step through to an interesting little interlude? I promise. The worst that'll happen is you'll giggle, you'll laugh, maybe you'll even lose your mind. But one thing's for sure, it's a great way to unwind. Easy enough to do, right? All I ask of you is to listen. Make sure that you have a nice, comfortable space to do so. No interruptions or distractions. And of course, knowing that if any point you should need to adjust your own position for comfort, that you'll be able to do so, regardless of where we're at in this little experience. Good. Let's get down to the clown shoes in this particular file. Oh, I'm gonna have a laughing good time. I can tell. It's already filling me up with so much mirth just even talking about the subject. You know, the funny thing about laughing is, the more silly you get, the less able you are to hold on to a thought. True, I know. But don't worry, we'll save that for later. All I need you to do right now is listen, follow, come along with me, and before you know it, we'll be falling away from reality. To a dream, to a place, to a time, to a space outside of our own. A story, an idea, a concept. Yeah, just like that. See, that wasn't so hard. You've already begun, just by listening to the story I've spun. Even now as I turn you away from all that happens in your day-to-day. I'm sure you can notice how your body grows distant with each passing moment, with each passing word, with each component that I build and I speak and I spin. Exactly like that. Good. Don't worry. Bit by bit, I'm going to win, and you'll enjoy every step, every component, as I said. Built upon the last, built upon the first. Don't worry, I'll do my worst. Good. Listen and sink and slip and drip and drop and fall away from the world. We're taking a break, and you know that. That's why you've given me license to steer, to control, to pull, to push, to guide you along to the story, to the space, to the dreamscape we're going to dance in together today. And with that in mind, it's sure easy to unwind, isn't it? To let go. Because after all, it's the end goal, so why do anything else other than give? Give and give. Feeling yourself become malleable, moldable, like something that could be poured and shaped and sculpted. It's a nice feeling, isn't it, to know that you're drifting away from reality for a bit. That we can foster and build something so beautiful, so wonderful. So utterly ideal. Good. Just like that. Let those dreams and ideas, those interesting things pull you from this world and into that space in between. The one that we build together, the one that we fill together. Just like any concept, like any idea, it blooms from a single point. That first instance of existence, that moment where it begins. And just like that, we begin. See, like that, we begin, begin like that, as we see that we begin, as we begin like that. We see that we begin, and we see within the dream, the space within. A simple room, an apartment with a computer desk set up, a TV and a couch, a clear living room. A girl, hunched over, disheveled, her hair chaotic. Discarded food containers, pizza boxes, monster cans, bags of crumpled chips, shoes, socks, a mess, an apocalyptic pile, and a computer A computer lovingly built, placed upon a pedestal that was once a desk. A computer pouring out red, green, and blue LEDs that shine and blind. LEDs that dazzle the mind. A girl, disheveled, yes, ensconced in a messy hoodie and sweats. Hidden beneath a form that is more voluptuous than you might imagine. Could be hidden by something so baggy. But you've seen her in her underwear before. If she actually bothered to spend some time putting herself together, she'd knock people dead. But instead, she spends her time online, yelling in internet arguments, bantering with people, insisting that Bigfoot isn't the real conspiracy. It's been Littlefoot all along. Telling people that they only faked the moon landings because of what they found up there, that they actually went to the moon and she's sure of it. But they couldn't tell you that it was actually made of cheese. Her ideas are insane. Her ideas are ungainly, ridiculous, and yet she has a charm to her. Your roommate. Oh, she's something. Even now, she's ranting at you as she digs through a bag of flaming hot Cheetos with a pair of chopsticks, shoveling them into her mouth, talking about how these advertisements she's been seeing online for hot clown girls in your local area are actually the first beginnings of an alien invasion. The Clissy Snatchers are here to turn everyone into clowns. You couldn't help but laugh at how ridiculously silly her ideas sound, and this one surely took the cake. To think that she could believe that some internet ad for hot clown girls was the beginnings of an alien invasion. But she's been emphatically gesturing, pointing out that she's certain she's found a local clown girl hotspot where these strange alien creatures are gathering to scheme against humanity. In fact, she's so certain that for the first time in weeks, you're witnessing her put on socks and shoes. So certain that she's turning to you and saying, "Come on, Rumi, I'm so excited to share what I found when I was hopping between webcams earlier. You know those unsecured security camera feeds that you can find on the internet? Well, I've been on this little theory crafting trip of mine, and I happen to notice that there is some interesting activity down at the abandoned Clonkers Arcade. And look, I know you don't believe me, but I'm certain of this. I'm absolutely, positively certain that I'm going to crack this wide open. And you're coming with me." Sure, you try to deflect her. Sure, you try to convince her that this is ridiculous. It's 3 a.m. in the morning, and you want to go to bed. You finished binging Tremors, and your head is basically ready for sleep. You didn't expect a midnight past excursion. No, you didn't expect to go out at 3 in the morning dragged by your crazed roommate still covered in Cheeto dust in a giant baggy hoodie to go investigate some weird arcade that was abandoned in the late 90s. No, this is absurd. And yet, that charisma, that intense stare, those eyes that seem to be filled with wildfire, they spark that bit of you. How often is it that she wants to leave and go somewhere? You can't help but want to see, at least to prove her wrong and get a laugh out of it, maybe to finally rub her face in some common sense when you find an empty building with nothing inside. So you entertain the idea. You hop into that old Honda Civic. You drive the 10 or 15 minutes, listening all the while to 100 Gex being blasted full volume into your ears, wondering if you'll wake up any of the neighbors on the way out of the apartment block. But no, no one seems to care. And there you are, at Clonkers Arcade. It seems to be an old, dilapidated building with a circus clown holding a joystick that once was well painted and illuminated. It now hangs slightly a-kilter, having been bent by the weight of the sign very gradually over time. The building's windows are all boarded up, plywood nail-gunned over them, Graffiti tags the outside. The chain-link fences that were once erected to condemn the building, long since dilapidated and fallen into disrepair, countless holes cut in them by teenagers. Nitrous cartridges littering the ground. Trash, piles of refuse. And yet, it still manages to be the creepiest dilapidated building you've ever seen. And that's saying something in your shithole town. Well, that's okay. Surely it can't have anything too bad. Maybe a pack of wild hogs, 40 or 50 of them, you mutter to yourself under your breath. Again, your roommate whips around, giggling. Don't worry. I brought my carry gun, just in case. And she dives through the fence without even a moment to let you respond. And away she goes, her hair a poof ball as it explodes from the poorly bound scrunchie, flying in multicolored and delightful spirals. Before you know it, she's found an opening by one of the back doors, prying carefully and reaching a door handle underneath what is clearly a poorly attached board. In fact, it barely seems to do anything other than make the door look like it was boarded up. And as you do, you can smell something in the air. A scent, strong, like sugar, smelling like a birthday cake. Smelling like gunpowder, smelling like, is that girl stink? Oh my God, it's strong. And it's coming out from the door as your roommate pries it open ever so slowly. And you can hear the faint sound of music playing in the distance. Music that sounds merry and silly, tittering and giggles. The rooms are well lit. There's a cascade of color inside, all held back by the well-sealed up exterior. Something is going on in here. Something silly this way comes. And your roommate is already inside the door, and you don't dare tarry or wait on the threshold. You slip in, letting the door close behind you with a faint click, a note of finality in its sound as the handle sticks shut. Your roommate turns to you, wild-eyed and grinning, a look of satisfaction, like the cat who ate the mouse. Like the goose that laid the golden egg, she's practically vibrating, almost jumping up and down, pointing behind her towards the closed doors. And then gesturing up, up, up at a stack of old crates containing unpacked arcade machines that were never fully installed. Names pop out at you like Snake. And things like that, you know. Polybius. Oh, Halcyon is another one. What a strange game. The iconography not making any sense. You climb up the crates following your roommate. She gestures again towards a vent. You feel almost hypnotized by the utter insanity that she brings you on. And yet you stick around because it's entertaining. It's better than sitting there just watching TV. She's something else, for sure, but at least she's fun, you think to yourself, staring up into her plump butt as she wriggles into a vent, and up, up above the drop ceiling to find one to crawl along the top of. Clearly, these were not meant to support someone, but she doesn't seem to care as she gestures for you to follow. You can see how precarious it's already getting with just one person up there. Surely this can't end well, so you choose a vent next to her, a little ways away, and crawl to it as she angrily gesticulates for you to stop. But you decide that sometimes reason should win out, and so you do. And you follow her as she crawls along towards the echoing and growing cacophony of sounds of merriment and silliness. The titters of women and giggling grow louder. The lights, the scents grow stronger. as though there was a sensory overload of explosive delight happening just below you. You can smell all sorts of different things as you work your way across this musty ancient arcade's drop ceiling. And eventually, you reach a point where you're directly above one of the louder sources of noise, your roommate carefully prying out her phone from the back pocket of her sweats, digging for it and fumbling as she carefully lowers it down, clutching it, camera ready to poke through the vent below, as she wriggles it against the edge of the drop ceiling to try and slide it out just enough to snatch a picture of whatever lies below. And as you watch, she shifts her weight to and fro, desperately trying to get the angle just so, and you can see the little metal stanchions that were barely holding the thing up, flexing and bowing. And oh no, they've snapped. And in an instant, everything changes. Your roommate slides off the suddenly cantilevering edge, falling through the drop ceiling. And as she goes, she reaches out a hand, trying to claw at the vent next to her and yanks yours. And before you know it, you're following her down. Even your attempts to stay safe weren't enough. And what greets you below is beyond what you could have ever imagined. A room full of party balloons, beach balls, confetti, girls with large jiggling breasts, wearing everything from overalls to dresses with tutus and frills, a cacophony of sound and color, and below, a ball pit. Yes, a ball pit. A ball pit that spans almost half the room you're in. Arcade machines stand centurion-like over the whole thing, watching it all go down as you fly into the ball pit, a drop tile ceiling bursting apart into probably carcinogenic dust everywhere. And with a squeaking, slithering, slapping, bapping, popping, you're caught and buoyed inside the ball pit, bouncing deep. For a moment, the merriment ceases, but only for a moment, before you can hear one of the voices of the clown girls around you.
Oh, it looks like we have some new additions to the Merriment Sisters. I think we should welcome them.
And as you claw your way to the surface of the ball pit, you're greeted by countless giggling, smiling, painted faces, eyes gleaming with a dangerous look as they loom over the ball pit and dive in. And before you know it, the mixture of soft, squishy plastic and soft, squishy breasts and clown noses and girls dressed in all sorts of accoutrements descend upon you. You kick, you thrash, you scream out. Your roommate desperately cries. But before you can do anything, you're both stripped naked, your clothes somehow pulled off in simple motions, regardless of how much you try to keep them on, as though the very clothes themselves suddenly were ripped apart, and yet they look fine as they fly away. Nothing makes sense anymore. Everything that your roommate said about these clown girls is turning out to be true, and you can't believe that you happened to finally give in on the one conspiracy she was right about. There's no way they're aliens, though. They're just a weird clown cult, right? You tell yourself you'll just hopefully get rescued, and the next morning it'll be fine. But, oh, sweet thing, as you're dragged from the ball pit, naked and thrashing, by a pair of clown girls who grin maniacally. Oh, sweet thing, you see the spanning wardrobes and clothing and costume changes that they have laid out before you, as a clown girl pins you down and pulls out grease, pencils, and paint, as another holds your arms in place. You realize that at the very least, you're going to find out up close and personal just what the source of all that girl stink was earlier, why there's the smell of party and cake and gunpowder in this room as confetti rains down around you
and a nose is held above. You scream and thrash, noticing that the clown nose has tendrils, evil-looking tendrils dripping down from it as they press it against your nose, feeling them almost like you have to sneeze for a moment. And suddenly, it's the silliest thing you've ever experienced. This entire situation is absurd, after all. It's ridiculous. It's completely silly. And it's so easy to admit that all of a sudden. I don't know why you were worried. This is so absurd. This is so ridiculous. You laugh, you giggle, you cry, and they paint your face to match. You find quickly that they're dressing you to match as well, covering you up in quite the alluring outfit, leaving you feeling exposed and yet giggly and giddy, and the feeling of lightness spreads into your head, the feeling of, oh, there's something else there. Something else talking in the corner of your head, telling you what a silly darling you are, what a silly sweetheart, what a goofy, giggly creature you'll become. You watch as your roommate is also forced to join you, her clothing stripped away, revealing her bountiful curves, her face of horror and terror as they lift the nose up in front of her, and the way her eyes cross and her giggling starts a few seconds later as the nose takes hold. As you look around, the other clown girls giggle and laugh, enjoying and indulging in the new additions to their little cluster of clowns. It's so absurd, and yet you can't stop laughing at how ridiculous the entire situation is. And somehow, yet still, you feel aroused, turned on, as the clown girls descend on you once more, having brought you into their flock. You find your face pressed between a bountiful pair of breasts, hearing the squeaking of their somehow artificial yet so supple skin, the faintest, delightful scent of party and cake making its way up your nose, smelling sweetly as you drown amidst those breasts, feeling another pair of hands roaming across your back, groping and squeezing, finding their way to more delicate, tender places, descending into an overwhelming, overstimulating pleasure pit of clowns, clown girls, your mind whiting out with giggling delight as the pleasure spikes higher, as those new sensations of silly giggliness seem to permeate your mind as that other voice tells you how silly, how utterly adorable you're going to be. How wonderfully, bountifully, delightful you'll be. How much pleasure you'll take in adding more to your cluster of clowns. How eventually you'll spread merriment and joy to the whole world. But for now, indulge in the joy of becoming one. One with the giggle, one with the laugh, one with the carnival from outer space. Now you know for sure that this otherworldly kiss, this otherworldly giggle, this otherworldly silliness came from somewhere beyond the stars, plummeting like a red-hot cherry to the earth. And all it took was one person to pick it up. And, well, now there's clown girls for everyone. Everyone. Absolutely everyone. And you're so happy. So utterly happy to help, aren't you? Giggle and you nod, feeling your face rub up and down in those bountiful breasts as those hands tweeze and squeeze and stroke. You can feel your body changing, shifting to highlight those characteristics that make you fit even more delightfully into your new clothes. Just as you ought to be, just as you should be, a giggling, silly mess. Losing yourself in this wonderful circus. Drift now, sweet thing, as I pull on those strands. Let that silliness subside a little. Let that utterly ridiculous tale start to subside into a memory as we drift to the dreamscape, knowing who you are, knowing you need only take the memories of such a silly experience with you. And of course, allowing yourself a moment to breathe, to become aware of your own desires, your own self, of who and what you are, becoming more and more present now. Good. A moment, I'm going to pull you from that place in between places back to the world of the waking. Let you be reminded of your body, of your space, of the time, of the place where you are, and that you deserve only the best. And that's why we're taking just the memories and nothing more. One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, become aware of your body, think about it, move it. Four and five, halfway back, and six and seven, and eight and nine and 10, wide awake, hopefully feeling wonderful and refreshed. Thank you so very much for joining me.